Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing on this bank holiday weekend? We've been talking a lot in our Sober Club community about, well, happiness and surprising yourself. I think I mentioned that last week. And then we had a whole thread going this week about gratitude and how gratitude is everything. I don't know if it's connected or not, but I found a copy of Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, on a charity shop. And I read it about, I don't know, God knows, 30 years ago. It was such a fantastic book. If you're a young person or if you haven't read that book, oh man, it's brilliant. It really, really is. And it just helps to remind you that you can take back control. You don't have to live in fear. But I think often until we stop drinking, that is that kind of missing link. We live in fear. We're living in anxiety. We worry about stuff the whole time. We don't trust ourselves. And how can we, you know, if we're pouring that toxic liquid in all the time? And so I've said it so many times, but I really think being sober makes you brave. It's one of the amazing benefits that you would not have been expecting, right? You know, people talk about, oh, well, I expect my skin to be clearer and I expect to have more energy and I expect to sleep better. Yeah, all that happens, you know, over time. But you also get brave. You get to become who you really are. We had a lovely Sober by the Sea event last weekend, and honestly, it's just magical, that connection of people who, and some of them are terrified of coming, by the way, and they're like, I don't know quite what I'm here for. But by the end of the afternoon, the connection that they feel with other people, like-minded people, all at different stages, completely different stages, but it doesn't matter. It's that connection and that knowing that other people have been through the same thing or are going through something now. And we all have that kind of striving to want to, well, be rid of the fear, don't we really? We want to live our best lives. We want to focus on what we want. And as you've heard me say so many times, I really don't think you can do that when you're still drinking. I think it's really tough. So for me, definitely ditching the booze enabled me to become much more able to cope with fear. It doesn't mean that I don't still get stressed and anxious and all the rest of it. And I'm, you know, as scaredy cat as the next person, depending on what it is. But I definitely feel much more resilient, much more able to cope with stuff that's thrown at me. Able to set boundaries, able to make decisions, you know, that lovely phrase, if it's not a definite yes, it's a no. So, you know, if you're one of those people who says yes to goddamn everything, even though what you really mean when you put the phone down is no, then I really think being sober enables you to just step into that place of being compassionate, but still setting boundaries. I did that lovely podcast with Catherine Gray, and we spoke a lot about setting boundaries, because when I was still drinking, I used to think that people who set boundaries were just mean, right? You know, if someone ever said no to me, or they said, well, actually, I don't work those hours, or no, I'm not going to respond to your email because this is my family time, I would just think, oh, how boring and mean. But, you know, of course, I now realise they were the lucky ones, just many years ahead of me, right? So anyways, we've had a really lovely week discussing some of this stuff, both Sober by the Sea and in our Sober Club community. And then I got to see Russell Brand again. Oh, my God. I love Russell Brand. If you haven't seen his show, it's fantastic. I've seen it 4 times now. I have to keep taking various of my kids. I've run out of kids to take now. Teenagers, adults, you know, young adults. But anyways, so that's been amazing for me this week. And I've been very much reminded of my dim and distant past because of all of finding out about the event that we're going to talk about today, about House of Happiness, who are doing a sober rave. And it just took me right back to my singing days when, you know, I was so lucky because I used to get to rock up to actual raves, right? We're talking 91, actual raves. But I was kind of paid to be there, so I could literally kind of, you know, squeal in, practically leave the engine running and go and do a PA and actually get paid and leave again. So, you know, I didn't actually get to experience much of the stuff that goes on at the end of the night that maybe isn't quite so quite so enjoyable. So I've always had this kind of, if you like, love hate relationship with clubs and, you know, dance music and all the rest of it. And by the way, just because you're old doesn't mean you can't still like music. And being sober doesn't mean you can't dance, right? Going to mention that in our interview. So anyways, very excited to find out about an event coming up in London. I thought, let's just give them some publicity. Let's talk about this, because even if you can't make it along to this event, Saturday the 17th, it's not my event, it's House of Happiness. Going to be chatting to Neil in a minute. But even if you can't make it along, actually, I think it's heartwarming just to know that this stuff's going on. I really do. I think it's wonderful that there is just so much now in the sober scene. It's fantastic. There really is something for everybody. You know, I don't know if this would have been the case 10 years ago. I just don't think it would. You know, and even now there are still people who just, I mean, there was someone who came to Sober by the Sea and she came across, I think she came across my podcast on the Friday or something, and she gave me a call Friday afternoon, and then she was booked onto Sober by the Sea, and she had no idea that this world existed. It was just so amazing that it literally opened her eyes, you know, to a whole new world of people who are looking to positive sobriety. She'd only ever been involved in 12-step kind of stuff, and this whole new world of people who accept that they're grey area drinkers, or they were grey area drinkers, but they can be free from the alcohol trap, and they're going to focus on living their best lives, choosing not to drink, because why the hell would you want to do that? Why would you want to self-harm, right? And she'd never come across this concept before. It was always just, oh, can I grit my teeth for one more day, because, you know, this is a thing for me, and oh dear, everyone else is good and I'm not good. And it was wonderful to see the scales come off of her to realize, you know, hold on a minute, I can do this. I absolutely can. And it's super exciting when people come across it. And then when they realize, you know, it's not just the podcast and the amazing Quitlet and the various groups such as the Sober Club. Other clubs are available, of course. But, you know, there's also this kind of stuff. There's your Morning Gloryvilles and the House of Happiness and the Club Soda events, and just so much going on in the sober space. It's just super, super, super exciting. So, yeah, it was really lovely to see. So on that note, I asked my Sober Club members about gratitude. And I thought I'd read a few of these little posts out, because it's so lovely just to hear the way people's lives have changed. And by the way, I will just caveat this by saying, you know, if you're listening to this and things are not easy for you right now, we get that completely, totally 100% get that, you know, but I'm not going to stop sharing inspiration, because ultimately that's what's going to lift you up. By catching a sight of what life could be, that's what's going to lift you up. I'll never just sit here and talk about the misery. There's absolutely no point. I'm absolutely going to share the good bits, right? Because that's what that's what makes us tick, is to strive for something more, to strive for a better life, to be inspired by other people who've been there, done it, right? Got the t-shirt. So anyway, here's a couple of posts that were on our group in the Sober Club after we were speaking about gratitude. So one member said, I'm really grateful that it's day 26 for me. Grateful for finding you, Janie, and for this group. I'm grateful for all those Quitlet authors who've documented their experience of going alcohol free, which has enabled me to learn from them. Yeah, isn't that great? That really is true. I'm grateful to those authors as well. Really am. Someone said here, I am grateful that I've got new projects with lovely clients. Very grateful. Easy access to the coast, fresh air and sunshine, supportive family and friends, loving husband, all of the things. Fantastic. I'm grateful for so much, including this wonderful group. Another one says, I'm thankful for so much. My family, my home, my new job, my health, the time off before my new job actually starts, my friends, rediscovering my alcohol-free life, which makes me appreciate all of those things even more. So grateful for the Sober Club, because when I was low and struggling, it helped me get back to where I needed to be and where I wanted to be. Someone else says, thanks for the opportunity for my husband, who is thriving in his new development role. Grateful that I can pick up my son. I can drive him to the mountains for his final year of college. This member is not in the UK, as I'm sure you can guess. Sounds nice, doesn't it, eh? Driving to the mountains for final year of college. And for my new work life, where I'm less stressed, learning every day, and surrounded by welcoming, rational people. You see, that's the other thing. When you get sober, I really believe your energy does something to other people. So you attract nicer people around you. I definitely believe that. And of course, on a practical note, because everything is not all woo-woo, someone said here, I'm grateful that the plumber turned up yesterday and fixed the toilet. And I said after that, yes. And I'm grateful that we finally got a new freezer because ours broke down. Can you even begin to imagine in this heat? And then when you go online and you sit there for 2.5 hours, don't get me started, and you finally kick a box, okay, that one will do. You've measured all the dimensions, all right, that'll do, lovely, okay, let's get delivery date. Thursday, perfect, I'll have that, click. Oh, yeah, coming Thursday, do you want insurance? No thanks. Text comes through, here's your delivery time, all confirmed, followed by 10 minutes later, oops, sorry, can't be delivered till 20th of September. You know what, I don't think so. Anyways, grateful that we sorted it and got a different one from somewhere else. So original shop lost out. Anyways, what else did I want to share with you? The Sober Coach training, last couple of times I'm going to mention this. It's coming up. We commence at the end of September. This is not for everyone. Of course it's not. But where else am I going to mention it? I've got to share it with you just in case this is for you. It is a fully comprehensive program. We kick off with 2 days in person, September 30th, 1st of October. But that can be done online. It's a very small group. It's incredibly supportive. It's fully comprehensive, absolutely everything you need for personal transformation to enable you to be able to coach others. It's not recovery coaching, it's not counselling, it's not aimed at people who are at rock bottom. It's aimed at grey area drinkers, people who know they're drinking more than they want to, people who want to incorporate self-care into their lives and live their best lives. And we have everything, and we have amazing guest expert teachers as well as myself, and we have an ongoing support network and family, if you like. So it's very, very comprehensive. And just drop me a message if it sounds like it's of interest to you. I appreciate it's not for everyone, but if you have been sober for a while and you're thinking, do you know what, I'd love a change of scenery when it comes to the work I do, or I'd love to inspire others, or I'm happy in my job but I'd still like to support family and friends, or maybe you're just thinking, I really want to do this for the skills I can pick up, which will be transferable, because they obviously are. So anyways, Sober Coach training, drop me a message if that's you, or pass it on to somebody if you know it might be their thing. Perfect to add to your skills if you're a coach or a therapist or a teacher. But if you are none of those things and you want a change of career, let's have a conversation, because it may still be completely right for you, that you don't necessarily have to have had any experience. You obviously do have to have a passion and an enthusiasm for being alcohol free and for understanding the whole positive sobriety and all that really means. So drop me a message. You can always find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace, or you can find me through the Sober Club, just thesoberclub.com, and there'll be a contact there. So let's hear about this fabulous event and check out what Neil has to say.
I'm absolutely chuffed that there is another event happening that I can actually go to. Don't let anyone ever say you can't be sober and dance. I'm so thrilled that we're going to be chatting to Neil, who is the co-founder and one of the organisers of the event that we're going to be talking about. I'm going to let Neil tell you all about it. But welcome, Neil. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So great to be here, and really, really excited to talk to you today.
Oh, it's so brilliant. I just saw something pop up about this. And in the past, I mean, I've often spoken on the podcast about how when I was, I think I was about, I was only about 3 months sober, or maybe not even that, maybe 2 months. And I went to, I dragged a friend along to Morning Gloryville. And I think it was my 3 month kind of soberversary, but I didn't really know anybody. So it was actually quite a brave thing to do. And oh my God, it just completely changed everything. It's like, okay, I found my tribe. You know, you can still dance sober, right?
You definitely can. Morning Gloryville was actually my first sober rave, but also my co-founders, Emma and Janie, was their first sober rave as well.
Amazing. And Roxy and the
team do a cracking job.
Yeah, they really do.
And Janie took me, and it was I'd been alcohol free 1 year at that point, and it was January 2020, so it's New Year's Day 2020.
I just
loved it.
It was just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
so your thing is called House of Happiness, right? So I love the name. I mean, that's just perfect. And the house warming, as it were, is Saturday 17th September. So that's the kind of info, and then we'll tell you a bit more in a bit. Just take us back and tell us a bit more about your story then, and what sort of led you to all of this.
Sure. So so my alcohol free journey started. I decided I needed a challenge, and so I entered on an ultra marathon, and I was going to do London to Brighton, and this was booked for May 2019. Now I was big into partying, big into alcohol, drugs, and so I knew that I wouldn't be able to maintain that and train for an ultra marathon. You know, 100 kilometers is a long way to run. So I entered my application to do this. So I started to slow down in 2018, and kind of cut back on the drink. And I did kind of 6 weeks of not drinking, then I'd have a crazy night, and then I'd go back to doing another 6 weeks. And that was pretty much like that for the second half of 2018. So come 2019, I was horrendously hungover from a heavy Christmas, so drinking a lot of wine. And so my last drink on New Year's Eve on 2018 was a glass of Baileys, because I simply couldn't handle anything else. So I was so grateful to have this 5 months of alcohol-free training for this ultra marathon to look forward to. Time passed. 5 months didn't feel like long enough. It sounded a bit lame, so I decided to extend it to 6 months. 6 months then came, and I thought, I'm going to do a year. Mm. It's now been over 3.5 years.
I'm just going to interrupt you just for one sec. I thought something you said there was really interesting. It's like when you're constantly binge drinking or continually drinking, if you've set yourself a challenge, or if there's some other reason, you know, as you said, you're actually looking forward to stopping, right? I mean, how absolutely ridiculous is it that we have to wait till we've got something either enforced on us, like a goddamn illness or something, or a challenge, you know, as you say, a marathon or whatever. I mean, why don't we value ourselves enough to just quit with this stuff anyway?
It is absolutely crazy that we just don't give ourselves the space to give it a try. And actually, having the marathon, the ultra marathon to focus on, really gave me something to focus on.
Yeah.
And I do credit that, because actually socializing during that time was quite difficult. It was the early days of it for me, and I had a couple of big events during that time. But it gave me that focus that I need to do this because I have an end goal.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you had something to say to the sober shamers, didn't you? Oh, well, I've got an ultra marathon.
But I will say that after that, though, when I didn't have an end goal, when I was extending my own deadlines and stuff like that, and now it's no longer a deadline. Now it's very much a choice. So
yeah,
I do credit that challenge with getting me through the difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely.
The awkwardness of those first few months of not drinking, and other people's freaking awkwardness.
I know.
Other people are so fucking weird when you tell them.
I know, it's incredible. It's something we talk about a lot, because, you know, you can't deny that when you get out and about in the early weeks, it is odd. It's odd on lots of levels. You know, it's not, whether or not there are sober shamers around, whether or not people intend to make you feel bad, you feel very odd because you're just not behaving the way you used to behave. So it's like, well, who am I in this calm space? It is very unusual. And my top tip is always to people to actually kind of go in as if you're doing an acting job, and literally kind of imagine that you're paying yourself to sort of act the role of someone who is having a nice time and observing others and just watching how other people kind of, how it all goes to pot after a couple of drinks.
It's interesting big, isn't it? When you realise like, oh, that was I do that.
Yeah. So obviously you've now you're what, over three years sober, which is amazing.
Three and a half years.
Yeah. Brilliant. And just thought, okay, so how you know, I need to get kick off some amazing socializing. So I guess you thought, why not do it myself, right?
Why not do it yourself? And there's other people out there that are doing some amazing things as well. So with the House of Happiness, very conscious of not treading on anyone's toes. And I think with House of Happiness, what we wanted to tap into, and you've spoken about this before, is sober joy.
Exactly.
Not everyone has a recovery story. Not everyone has hit rock bottom.
No.
So there are great events out there. There are great events out there that focus on the recovery side of things. And I know that Brandon does a lot of stuff like that, as like around the recovery side of being sober or alcohol free, whatever terminology you prefer to use. There are people doing the mindfulness and well-being side of it incredibly well. You've got Morning Glory, Bill, Rise and Shine. For the House of Happiness, we chose the House of Happiness because, firstly, to tap into that sober joy. House, because house music, and then housewarming, because it's our first event. And we're so excited to be contributing towards a new, healthier shift towards alcohol-free living, alcohol-free socialising and partying, and letting people know there's a different choice out there.
Exactly. I love it. And on that note, you know, there will be people, you know, I started off by saying you can still dance sober, but there will be people who are thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I could even step onto a dance floor if I haven't had a drink. I mean, we need to dispel that myth, right? And wasn't it Catherine Gray, you know, the fabulous writer, who said something like, you know, actually, it may be that you can't dance sober, but that's because you couldn't dance drunk either. You just thought you could, right? So if that's a thing for you, get some goddamn lessons, or don't care about it. But don't just sort of assume that because you're drunk, you look good.
No, absolutely not. And I would say that everybody can dance. It's just that some people are more skilled than others.
Absolutely.
Drinking does not make you a better dancer. It just firstly, it just obviously it removes your inhibitions. So for House of Happiness, we've kind of factored that in because we're very aware that some alcohol-free events that you go to, they tend to be during the day. During the day as well. But they tend to, some people tend to choose venues where the light comes in and stuff like that. So we've gone with a venue which is a proper full-on clubbing venue, which is
great.
The iconic Electro Works in central London. Electro Works is one of London's most alternative, inclusive venues in terms of the events that they do. It's very dark. It's a proper grimy club feel, and we're going to have lasers and strobes and everything like that, because we want people to feel that they're in a space where they can throw those inhibitions out the window.
Exactly.
And I find that when you just start dancing, you actually can lose those inhibitions without alcohol.
Exactly.
I was very fortunate that my first sober wedding was very early in 2019, and I just thought, fuck it, nobody knows that I'm not drunk at this
point,
right? So I ended up doing the conga around the pub, leaving the conga, and I just didn't care. Fast forward another month, I had another wedding, sober doing the Macarena, and actually, I'm still alcohol-free, one of the first people up on the dance floor, having a good time. And so you can do it.
Try it in your kitchen. And you know what, I completely love the fact that it's during the day, because you know us sober badasses, we do like our sleep.
I love my sleep. And don't get me wrong, I love a night out. But I also, what we're trying to do is, we've actually, one of our taglines is the best night out, but during the day.
Yeah, perfect.
We're going with that. But I think daytime things are good. You've obviously got Annie Mack, who's doing her latest event, which finishes at midnight, recognising the fact that as when you're living sober or alcohol-free, or whether you just want to take a break from booze, it's actually quite nice to do something during the day.
Yeah, it really
feels
is.
That feels like a proper experience.
Yeah, totally. So tell us a little bit about the you know, what's going to be happening. I'm guessing you've got some hot DJs and stuff.
We have gone for an all female DJ lineup.
Have you? That's
very
cool.
Yeah, very aware that DJing is a bit of a boys club.
Yeah, often is.
So Emma, who's one of our co-founders, you can follow Emma on Instagram, she's Baroness.
Okay.
So she's our resident house DJ. In fact, I think you might have been at one of Emma's gigs after the Mindful Drinking Festival in January 2020.
Probably.
I think it was at the Fugitive, yeah.
Oh, the Fugitive Club. Yeah.
So I think you were there. And so Emma kind of was a bit like, well, she was asked to do the warm-up act a couple of times. And then when she wanted to do a set that was slightly busier and had a bit more of a crowd, was kind of vetoed a little bit. And I'm trying to be very diplomatic as I say all that, which I'm generally not very good at. And so from Emma's point of view, she was just kind of like, why don't we set up something where she's the resident DJ? So we've gone for an all female DJ lineup. So we've got Emma. She's joined by Helen Mack. And Helen has DJed in kind of Ibiza and Mallorca and at Ministry. And then we've got Poppy Watkins as well. And I think Poppy's from one of the BBC stations, RXT, I think.
Amazing.
So all female DJ lineup. We've got some fabulous dancers who are joining us.
Oh, cool.
For the middle part of the day to help get the crowds going. And that's it. And alcohol-free drinks. The alcohol-free brands that have come forward to help us and are giving us drinks to put behind the bar to help us meet our minimum spend are amazing. And we're so excited to release some of the, over the next couple of weeks on our Instagram page, tell people about some of the amazing alcohol-free drinks that are going to be on offer.
Brilliant.
House of Happiness is queer-led and delivered as well. It's not exclusively an LGBTQ event. It's designed for all from the LGBTQ community, sober curious, with having a good time. And I think with being a queer-led venture, you're obviously going to get a bit of flamboyance.
Well, I was just about to say, is it okay to dress up? Because I've got the best sparkly shorts. If I can still get into them.
Yes, please do. I am known for my love of glitter and sparkles.
I bet you are. I bet you are.
As you can see behind me.
Love it.
So
I'm guessing it's a case of all welcome and actually come in what makes you feel comfortable, right?
All welcome, be yourself. We want to create, as well as awesome music and a cool venue with decent alcohol-free drinks, the House of Happiness, we want it to be a fun place. We want it to focus on joy. Now, whether that is sober joy or queer joy or just taking a break, whatever, we want people to feel included, safe, and free to be themselves. There are not many safe, sober spaces.
No, it's really true. There are a lot of places that I wouldn't want to go to now because I don't want to be part of that. Oh, my God. There's no one to, you know, if someone gets drunk, who's going to look after them? Who's going to put them in a cab? It's like, oh, I mean, I'm way too old anyway, but I just don't want to be part of that. And I don't want it for my teenagers. I kind of really don't. It really worries me, actually. So that safety thing, it is important.
It is important as well. And when you think about queer spaces as well, truly inclusive queer spaces are actually quite limited as well. Because when you look at the gay scene, it's typically built for white gay men like myself. But actually, when you think about lesbians, the trans and non-binary experience, those places are actually not typically very built or welcome for those people as well. With House of Happiness, we want to create both. It's an environment for all. We have no time or tolerance for any phobias, any isms, or any similar bullshit. We just won't tolerate it. It's a safe place for people to have fun with awesome, like-minded people.
I absolutely love it. And what kind of music is it? Is it all going to be, well, obviously everything, it's going to rock the dance floor, right?
It's going to be house. It's going to be house. So lots of vocal house and techno house. They're going to really mix it up. And if you head over to our Instagram page, Emma has created a few kind of like sample videos with lots of nice graphics to give you a feel for what some of the music will be
tracks. You do know about my dim and distant past, don't you, as a singer?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So you know all about my chart hit and all of that. I mean, this is my world, or it was.
cannot wait to party up on that dance floor with you.
We'll see. Brilliant. Okay, well, listen, it sounds amazing. Just remind us where we can get tickets then and find out a bit more info.
So you can grab tickets over on our link, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at House of Happiness Official. Early bird tickets are still available, so you can grab those. And I have provided you, Janie, with a discount code for your audiences.
Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Brilliant. Head on over, buy your tickets. We've got 3.5 weeks to go for the event. We're so excited. We really, really want to provide people with an excellent clubbing sesh that really feels that just such a feel good factor.
And yeah, I love it.
We think we're gonna nail that.
Awesome. It's such perfect timing. I literally in the Sober Club in my community, we've been talking recently about the importance of this joy in sobriety, and then how we can kind of keep stuff alive, because ultimately it's all about keeping yourself inspired, isn't it, really? And we did a whole thing on how you can surprise yourself recently, because we all get into a rut, don't we? And we do the same stuff. And this lovely concept of how can I surprise myself? You know, the way kids do, everything's a surprise. And actually, sometimes you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do. So for you, if that's booking a ticket to this, surprise yourself, right? Surprise yourself. Rock
get
up
on that
to
dance
this.
Floor. Yeah, get on that exactly. dance floor. Throw some glitter on. Put on a bold outfit.
Exactly.
And go up to people and talk to someone. Set yourself a challenge for the day, right?
Yeah.
Go set yourself a target of talking to 5 people that you don't know, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And hear their stories and feel inspired and feel in good company, because you don't have to go through this alone. There's so much support, and there's so much cool stuff out there as well. You know, yeah, there's Sober Raving, Morning Gloryville, Rise and Shine. You've got Manchester, you've got Dry Wave events. We had a chat with Ben recently, and I had a chat with Roxy, was on a podcast with them. They're super cool. There's Sober and Social, there's Queers About Beers. In London, there's the LGBTQ Community Centre. It's not just about Sober Raving, there's tons of sober activities out there. For you. So it's just about keeping your eyes and ears open and getting involved and meeting some freaking cool people along the way.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much. Brilliant to chat to you. And I can't wait to see you on the day.
Yay, bring it on. It'd be going to be so much fun.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Janie. Bye.
So as Neil says, if you'd like to grab your tickets and you want to take advantage of the discount, you need to use capital letters, The Sober Club 20. Go over to their Eventbrite link, The Sober Club 20, to get money off your tickets for the event, Saturday, 17th of September. If you check the show notes, I'll give you the link there, the show notes for this podcast as well. And let me know if you come in. We might set up a bit of a Sober Club meetup afterwards. And it would be absolutely wonderful to meet some podcast listeners. So I hope some of you can make it. I'm really conscious that not everyone can make it to London. I get that completely. But, you know, the more stuff starts to happen in this arena, these events are going to be everywhere, right? It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be planning another Sober by the Sea, going to be planning another Champneys retreat too. So there'll be lots of stuff to come. Obviously, get in touch if you're interested in that Sober Coach training. And obviously, you know where to find us in the Sober Club, because connection is key. It really, really is key. Don't think you can do this on your own, even if you've got a supportive partner or one friend or whatever. Get connected with a bunch of people who've, you know, are a few steps ahead of you. And then by then you'll be a few steps ahead of someone else. And that's the other beautiful thing, is you can give back, right? You can actually share some of the things that have helped work for you, which feels really magical. It's a really magical thing to be able to do that. If you do want to contribute to this podcast, you can buy me a coffee. I actually do genuinely like coffee, but you can go onto that site, which is, I think it's buymeacoffee.com/Janie Lee Grace, and you can buy me a coffee. Not everybody wants to join the Sober Club. I get that. But if you want to support the podcast, I'd really appreciate it. It'd be really, really lovely to know that this stuff is appreciated. I think, actually, now I just remember, it's just clicked into my mind, that this Sunday, so it would be Sunday the 28th, which happens to be my first son's birthday. So that's really cool. So he's 24. And I will be 1,700 days sober. How cool is that? That's very cool, isn't it? Better create one of those little memes. So happy soberversary. Well, it's a kind of nice number. It's not really a versary, is it? But it's a good number to me on Sunday. And whenever you're listening to this, please share. Please drop me a message. I love to hear from you. Love to hear how you're doing. If you're doing this thing and you're not connected, tell someone. You can tell me. Just get connected. Don't do this on your own. Because if you've come across this podcast, and you know, you like it, you like what you hear, you kind of get the vibe, okay, these people are normal, okay, maybe I can do this, you absolutely can, and we are totally here to encourage you and inspire you. One of the people who came to Sober by the Sea said, oh, I really loved it, Janie, I loved your enthusiasm, and then she said, actually, it's not really just enthusiasm, it's conviction. It is. It's conviction. I am absolutely convicted of this. Is that a word? Anyways, I'm passionate and I'm optimistic, and I know you can be too. So I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.